is, at times, good, comfortable, rewarding. It's that feeling of being full. Things are going in the right direction. At other times, it's somewhat less than ideal. It's more like manageable or controllable, never more than satisfactory. The glass is half full or half empty, depending on how you look at it. Still, there are other times when life can be so dark, so brutal, so completely and totally empty that it seems that the glass has been drained entirely. We are dry and parched, existing in our emptiness, unsure of how to fill ourselves back up. Finally, we lose our hold on life and we fall. Become broken and shattered, and we feel like nothing can put us back together. Yet, it is here in our brokenness, in our desperation, that we cry out to God. It is here, in our complete and hopeless emptiness, that we discover the fullness that only comes from Jesus Christ.
On average, there are 350 million people affected globally by some sort of depression at any given time. Just under 16 million, or about 7% of Americans, experience depression throughout the year as an average. The estimated cost of depression in the United States alone due to lost productivity and healthcare is $80 billion. Now, putting the value and economic cost on something is one thing, but there's no way to calculate the emotional pain caused by depression. Depression and or discouragement can cut a wide swath of varying degrees across our emotional and physical well-being. Sometimes we experience a bad day, you know, just a day of feeling down or feeling blue, and I think everybody can relate to that. And if we're not mindful, those bad days can turn into bad several days and bad weeks and bad months and a bad lifestyle if we're not careful. You remember in the 70s probably, a fellow by the name of Joshua Reynolds and a friend of his invented the mood ring. How many people had a mood ring? Most of you will admit we had a, I remember as being a kid somehow, I had a mood ring. And you know, the idea with the ring would change color depending on your mood. If you were light and carefree, I think it was a light blue, the more upset you got, the angry, the emotions, it got darker, varying in degrees. And they were quite a fad for a while. I think you could buy anywhere, the more expensive ones, they start out between $45 and $250, depending on the setting. I looked the other day, you can find them on Amazon for $1.99. I hope nobody's wearing them this morning, but just put a hand in your pocket if you are. I'm pretty confident we don't need a $2 ring to tell us what kind of mood we're in. There are, of course, varying degrees of depression, from feeling blue to being outright debilitated, not even able to function. Experts list several types and forms of depression, from the mild to the extreme, and many suffer from anxiety disorder to severe anxiety. I've known people that couldn't even leave the house because of anxieties. Statistics vary, but some studies claim as many as 1 out of 7, or 14%, will receive some form of treatment for emotional disturbance on any given year. The amount of people that are affected by depression and do not receive treatment is quite high as well. Experts claim there's at least half the people that are depressed do not seek any form of treatment. In other words, really, there's double the amount of people that are struggling with depression than what the reports even, the statistics show. And as long as we're in this fallen world, we're going to deal with struggles, disappointments, setbacks. We have no shortages of opportunities to be discouraged and or worse yet, depressed. And as the world increases in darkness and violence, along with economic uncertainty, The number of people suffering with depression is rising on a regular basis. In the early 90s alone, the numbers from just a couple decades before that, the numbers tripled the amount of people that were going and seeking some sort of treatment, and it's continuing to move forward. Depression often starts as a general discouragement. I said we all have had our blue days or our bad days, and onset of depression, I think, starts with a discouragement. Now, being discouraged or discouragement is defined as deprived of courage or confidence, depressed in spirits, dejected, or disheartened. I think we can understand that. We can see that. Courage is defined as brave, bold, daring, intrepid, which means fearless, hardy to encounter difficulties or danger, adventurous, enterprising. It's a big difference between being full of courage and ready to take the world and being depleted in spirit and like you can feel like you can barely move on. Many preachers and scholars believe that we are in the latter days, and I don't think that's hard to agree with when you look at what's happening. And Scripture confirms that evil will increase in latter days and demonic activity along with it. And so what are we going to see with that? More discouragement, more depression as the world continues to spin out of control. People everywhere are confused, angry, frustrated, struggling, and outright depressed. They're full of tremendous anxieties. And we're all capable of being effective, ministers included. The rate among ministers that are feeling depressed and struggling with major issues is equal or higher than the average community, if you will. And the rate of ministers that quit on a monthly basis is pretty staggering. And so we struggle as well as anybody else. And before you get depressed over these alarming statistics, let me assure you there is help. There is help. First, I want to say this. There is no shame in feeling depressed or anxious. And there is no reason to stay there. Get help. Get help. Doctors have helped a lot of people live full and happy lives, some with medical treatment, some including medication. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. There are three basic types of depression. Now, I'm no doctor. I did stay at a Holiday Inn once, and it wasn't all that great, but I'm not a doctor. I've done some study in this, and they break this down to far more than that, but there's three basic types of depression. Endogenous, which is a poor diet can cause it, atmospheric conditions, hormonal imbalance, we'll talk a little about that in a moment, inadequate outdoor exercise, exogenous, a sense of loss. You may lose a mate or a child or somebody close to you. You may lose a job or a position, and you become depressed over that loss. Neurotic, which is internal and attitudinal, you can just become neurotic. And so we can struggle with those types of things. If you are suffering from a chemical imbalance, usually it's something like serotonin or dopamine, and that loss can bring on depression. That's a real loss. That's something your body's struggling with. And the hard part is there's no actual science. They can't draw blood and say, well, you need 4.7 more of this chemical. They kind of fool around with it, but it does help people. Some people feel there's a stigma in taking medication for mental health, particularly amongst Christians. I find it interesting that those same people will quickly take an antibiotic if they have strep throat. And yet there's something about taking help, mental health. And as I said before, if you're suffering, get help. Don't ignore it and seek counsel. But that said, I believe getting help does not invalidate you from being completely healed and or delivered from God. Amen. Which should be our first and foremost avenue of help. I have never found any scripture throughout the Word of God that says Jesus sent somebody to a doctor because he couldn't heal him. Have you? Anybody saw that? If you are, I want you to change Bibles, okay? Now, please listen carefully. I am not saying don't go to a doctor. I'm not saying don't get help if you're struggling emotionally through a pastor, or a minister, or some colleges. However, I'm saying don't stay there. If I'm sick, I'm going to go to the doctor and get treatment. But that doesn't stop me from praying and seeking God. I read an article recently, interesting, by a minister at a large church that struggles with depression, and he wrote, medicine can be and is a gift from God, not an alternative to his power. He said, if I seek a cure without seeking Christ, I am bowing to idols of my own desire. So if you're struggling with discouragement or depression, I personally believe that Jesus wants to set you free today, completely free. And I want to tell you that I have personal experience to back that up. Some of you may have heard this years ago. I've talked about it. I want to rewind the tape of my life about 32, 33 to 35 years, which is quite a while ago. We keep saying I'm not just old. I've been old for a long time, but we'll move on from there. But just before I came to Christ, and actually for quite a period before I came to Christ, I wasn't doing very well. And outwardly looked like I was doing great, but inwardly I was a mess. I had been involved in a rather immoral lifestyle of partying. I had been divorced. I didn't know the Lord. I had two children that I absolutely adored and struggling to be part of their life. And so I went through all this stuff that was happening in my life. On the surface, it looked like I had it all together. I mean, some of my friends thought, well, you got it made. They would talk about it. I mean, I had a good job. I made good money. I'd be out partying. It looked like everything was going together. They thought I had it made because they had the wrong values. They did not value God or His holiness. They might have thought I was having it all together because they didn't see the inward pain. Because we're all very good at masking inward pain. I would say I was a mess. Things might have gone along pretty good for quite a while. I would push down my pain that would come to the surface, my fears. And every 6 weeks or so, I could no longer push down the depression. And it would rise up, and I could no longer handle it. And it would just kind of come to the surface, and I would get, very, very depressed. Very depressed. It might last a day. It might last 2 days. I'd fight it off, but I'd be really depressed. And somehow I'd move on. Move forward for another 5 or 6 weeks. Every bout of depression that would come along, I found it getting stronger and longer. Instead of every 6 weeks or so, now it was every 4 or 5 weeks. Instead of a day or two, it was 2 or 3 days. Soon it was every 1 or 2 to 3 weeks with longer periods of depression. And each period of depression got stronger than the last and deeper than the last. Deep, deep, deep depression. I would go to work. I could function. I was quieter probably than most usual times. But when I'd leave work, I would just slip into this deep darkness, and I couldn't be reached. Close to being almost catatonic, just sitting in this tremendous, deep pain. Billy Joel had a song somewhere around that time, and it said something like, part of it, when I'm deep inside of me, don't be too concerned, I won't ask for nothing while I'm gone. And that's a good description of somebody in deep pain and depression. And only somebody that has experienced it understands that. If you know somebody that deals with depression or discouragement and you don't regularly, you may not understand it. And you will not understand the depth that you can go to in this depression. This depth of just getting deep into the pain and can't get out of it. As time wore on, it would become quicker, as I said. Every week or two, longer periods of depression, each getting darker and deeper than the last one. During this period, I've shared this story as well over the years, I was out of town. We were building a company. We were starting with a friend of mine, and we were moving large furnaces and some metal treating equipment back to this plant we were building. And I won't go into all the details now. I've done it in the past, but during this period of time, and again, I would function well for weeks, and I'd go into this depression, and one night in my hotel room, I heard this loud screeching, and I felt like, I can explain it like a large animal just walk across my chest and across my bed, and then it stood at the foot of my bed, and I felt this dark presence that I felt was Satan commanding to allow me, to allow him to enter me. I wanted to take full possession. I felt I was oppressed in many areas of my life because of things that were going on, but the enemy tried to take complete possession of me, and I was absolutely furious. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know any scripture. I had an upbringing in a church as a kid. I couldn't move. I couldn't function. I just remember being furious. And I did the only thing I knew to do was say the Our Father. Little did I know I was quoting scripture, thank God, the Lord's Prayer. I said it probably 50 or 60 times, and this spirit, this demonic presence left me. But it's how close the enemy was to trying to completely destroy my life. There's a little more details than that, but that's the basic understanding. And I have since come, of course, to realize that in Christ, I have authority over the evil one. I don't fear the evil one. I'm not afraid of the evil one, all the demons. I don't make that statement boldly or arrogantly. I make it confidently because it's him, Christ, that's within me. And we've cast demons out of people, and I've seen people's lives change entirely from that. So a few months or two later, a little later during that experience, and one night I came to the Lord on a Sunday evening in a church on the west side. My brother was between years of Bible school. He was preaching at this little church. I went out there, and about a couple months after that, in this whole period of this darkness, I quietly came to the Lord myself. Asked him to come in my heart. Sunday night. Didn't say much to anybody. I got up the next morning, couldn't stand it. I had to tell Chris. I asked the Lord to come in my heart last night, and this huge dam broke in me. And I remember a couple months later reading the Word of God where it says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you shall be saved. Nobody told me that. I experienced it. And I remember reading the Word and knowing this, that just shook me how true and accurate the Word was. And so it wasn't until I believed in my heart, I asked Christ to come into my life. It wasn't until I confessed it with my mouth. And when I did so, I remember crying all the way to work. It was just a huge, huge relief. So that was Sunday night. I accepted the Lord. Monday morning, I confessed the Lord, if you will. A few days later, Wednesday morning, less than 3 days saved, I wake up and I feel this emboding presence that I'd been used to. I could experience. I knew what was coming. It was this weight. It was this darkness of this depression sinking in. And I had experienced it for so long a period of time, I knew what was coming. Powerless in of myself to do anything about it. I remember Wednesday morning laying in bed early in the morning, getting ready to go to work and laying there and feeling this weight, this depression, this darkness try to get a hold of me again. And I'd had 2 days of loving Jesus prior to that. Didn't know the Word, didn't know anything about it. And all I said to him was, Lord Jesus, this is useless, negative emotions. They want to destroy me. Please take them from me. This is what I said to him. I didn't know, once again, I was being scripturally accurate. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and following. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety in him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Cast your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. Lord Jesus, these are horrible, useless, negative emotions that want to destroy me. Please take them from me. And I literally felt, literally like 50 or so pounds lift off my chest. I felt it lift. It was gone. Gone. God delivered me from severe depression. I was a short period of time away from slipping in because, remember, the depression was getting deeper, darker and longer and closer between. At some point, this was going to kick in and I wouldn't have come out of it. I would have never come out of it because I could see it and I couldn't control it. Had nothing I could do to help it. I remember trying to get help, seeking somebody. Nothing could help me. God set me free. And I can honestly say, in 30 plus years, I have never suffered a day of depression. Never. Now, I've been discouraged. I've had my bad days, you know, my crabby days, the days that we think we have the right to be crabby. You know, I've had days where I feel a little discouraged about where things are going on, and that's a big difference from deep depression. But mind you, we'll talk a little bit about this. Discouragement to me is just the opening door to depression. We allow that to happen. And I want you to know, in the 30 plus years, we have had ample opportunity for things that came along in our life to be depressed over. It's not like this life is a bowl full of cherries that we float around in, you know? I mean, life is good, don't get me wrong, but we've had our struggle like everybody else. I've had ample opportunities. I mean, if I had time, I'd bring you to tears with some of the stuff we've been through. Just like you, you have your own story. So it's not like I've been shielded, far from it. But I refuse to give in to depression, and God has set me free. And I refuse to give the enemy any stronghold in my life. I'm free. And John 8:36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, whatever you're struggling with today, however degree of it you may be struggling, let's agree together that Jesus wants to make you whole. That he wants you to be free. I want you to walk out of here whole and well, set free. That's my belief. I've been praying this week, and I'm believing that God's going to do for you what he did for me. Totally transformed my life. Gypsy Smith has an expression years ago, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Now, there are a lot of reasons you may struggle with discouragement or depression. Sometimes you beat yourself up because you made a mistake. If that was the case, I'd be depressed every day. Because we all make mistakes. Our past, if we let it, has a way of getting in the way of what God wants for our very, very best for our future. And even mild discouragement can be the beginning of serious depression if it's not quickly addressed. When we're depressed, it can affect everybody around us. Our countenance can bring people down or up. We all know when we're having a decent day and somebody around us is not. It's like, get with it. Don't we get aggravated because they're depressed? Where's the compassion in that? Don't rain on my parade. I was doing pretty good until a few minutes ago. Jesus loves you. I'm just not crazy about you. Let's be honest. That's what we're saying. But our countenance has an impact on other people. Now, nobody understands better than me that when you're severely depressed, you can't help it. You can't just shake it off. And that's what I'm talking about today is finding the strength and power in Christ. I said that God set me free from eventual destruction. I knew I was heading a place there was no turning back. I've lived depression-free all these years, and I've come to realize a long time ago, years ago, by God's grace, he helped me understand why. Number one, listen, when he set me free, I wasn't quoting Jesus' name. I was just asking for help. I didn't know anything about the Bible. He set me free by his grace. But he taught me some things that I have learned, and as I have studied it, that I apply in my life that I'm going to share with you. So when God sets you free today, or if just tomorrow you have a bad day or next week, some tools that you can use to quit walking around in this funk that we so often do. Because I want you to understand something. This is very important. This is something you need to remind yourself from on a regular basis. Depression is never from God. Discouragement is never from God. I'm not saying he doesn't allow things to come in our life. I'm not saying there aren't some tough times we're going to go through. I'm not saying we don't live in a fallen world. But I'm telling you, discouragement, depression is not from God. Psalm 42:5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. When I think of God's countenance, I don't think of God kicking the can of heaven and go, boy, what a mess this world is. Do you? I mean, you get in God's presence, can you imagine his countenance? The radiance of his glory and the help of his countenance? I've often said, the devil will defeat you in your thought life. It's both our thoughts, and the deceptive suggestions of the enemy that's trying to defeat you. The devil defeats you in your thought life, and guess what, folks? We do a pretty good job of our own sometimes, don't we? The stuff we tell ourselves, the stuff we listen to, the stuff somebody else has said that we dwell on, and we don't find scripture to support that. And this section here, write this down, memorize this, know this, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments to King James's imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. A few things here. First, the weapons of our warfare. You're in a warfare. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may give a little trouble to that day. Or does your scripture say, whom he may devour? Make no mistake about it, the enemy wants you. And the more you're doing for God, the more he wants to upset you. The more he wants to bother you, because you know you're so inwardly focused with your pain that you can't help people. Enemy's got you right where he wants you. And it's a warfare. But notice that you have a weapon that is mighty. The weapons of a warfare, they're not fleshly. They're not carnal, but they're mighty. In pulling down strongholds, that's the next thing. Strongholds of your life. Strongholds that your enemy that you're in warfare with has on your life. When the enemy has a stronghold, and all these terms throughout this scripture here, when you study the original language, are military terms, battle terms, strongholds. Got you in a place that you can't get free. Got you, have you right where he wants you, in your mind, and your thinking, and you can't get past it, and you're upset, or you're discouraged, or you're just feeling blue that day, or you're petting this thing, and now you have 2 days and 3 days, or you're in full-blown depression. The weapons are mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. And the point here is meaning destroying the strongholds, for breaking free of the strongholds. And casting down arguments or imaginations, as the King James says. And the word there is a mind wandering. Now, we all have imagination. Thank God for imagination. But the point in the wording and the language here is our mind that starts to think things and wander around. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words talks about this word here, this argument, imaginations. It says, it's suggestive of evil intent, not mere reasonings. And so it's not saying you don't have a thought life or a mind, but it's saying that you have these thoughts that has evil in their intent. They're destructive, and you are to cast those thoughts down, not pet them. And we can go a day or two or a week or longer saying, this is horrible, I'm upset by this, this person did that, this is wrong, I should be here, that person's over there, they're doing so much better, I don't have this. All this junk we listen to, and even our mistakes as I made, said. You know, we dwell about the things we've messed up in our life, and we get all discouraged and depressed about that. And those are our mind wanderings that the enemy wants. Either he implants them, or you have, or somebody else has, and he's going to want to take full control of that and get you into a stronghold that you don't think you can get past that. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, contextually here, I think that high thing means, you know, it's a lofty truth that's against the Word of God. This thought or this reasoning that's against the Word of God. And if you're fighting depression and you're thinking, oh, this is stupid, or, you know, oh, I have the right to be upset, God's Word says that's a lie. I'm upset somebody else, I was treated wrong, I'm never going to get past this, I got to stay depressed, I get discouraged all the time, God's Word says that's a lie. And this lofty thought that is against the knowledge of God. It's this thinking and this reasoning that doesn't line up with God's Word. And when you're discouraged or you're depressed, let me tell you, your thinking and reasoning is not lining up with God's Word. Casting down arguments, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that casting down there means to throw down with violent force, to destroy and demolish. Demolish. To throw down with violent force, to destroy, demolish arguments, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Lord, I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus Christ. I refuse that thought in my life. I'm feeling crummy, I'm feeling blue, I'm feeling discouraged. I have no right to be here. I'm a child of God. I rebuke that thought. Lord, I can't seem to shake this thing off, but I rebuke that thing in Jesus' name. I cast that thought down. That's a far difference from allowing that thing to roll around in your head, isn't it? And that took a short little period of time to take authority over it. We let this stuff roll around our head for hours and days at a time. And let me tell you, I've had days where all throughout the day I say I rebuke this thought. Because it comes back. Didn't I tell you to get out of here? So every high thing, this imagination and this thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So contextually, it's talking about our thinking, our arguments. But let me give you the origin where these bad thoughts come from and high things come from. Ephesians 6, 10 and following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Man, doesn't that stop? Can't we just stop right there? When we're fighting discouragement or depression, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Depression and discouragement is not from God. Evil thinking is not from God. Where does it come from? The enemy or our stupid self when we keep feeding this junk to ourselves? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember the warfare? Remember the fighting? The weapons of warfare aren't carnal, but mighty in God, through God. For we don't war, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But where's our fight? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, the evil thought, the evil intent, in heavenly, King James says, high places. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is what? His word? His knowledge? Every high thing that exalts itself against God's word. Satan told Eve, who told you you couldn't eat that? Who said that? Well, who said it? God. He called God a liar. He exalts himself, has the audacity to exalt himself against the knowledge of God. God's word says you're a child of God, you're the head and not the tail. Amen? That you're seated in heavenly places, that you're royal priesthood, that you're above and not under, that God's on your side, the Holy Spirit's within you. Amen? That you're blessed of God, that his countenance will bless you. He is your source, he is your strength, he is your help. The enemy says, really? That way you sinned yesterday, you think he's going to help you? Really? Come on, you're not Pastor Ron or somebody else. You're going to battle with this. That's a lie. I don't know about you, but I refuse to listen to lies. I'm not interested in lies. And I'm not interested in anything that exalts itself against God's word. If it's contrary to his word, I don't want it in my life. Hosea 4:6 says what? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Obedience of what? Obedience of Christ, the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Bringing every thought captive. Lord, these thoughts I'm thinking right now, do they line up with you? Would you be telling me this? Is this your truth? Is this equivalent of your Word? No. So it doesn't line up with the Word of God. I'm going to take that thought captive. Remember the word war terms? I'm going to refuse to have this thought. I'm not going to let that thing wander around in my mind. I'm going to hold it captive and say, I refuse to allow you in my mind. I rebuke you and command you to go. Because we cast that thing down. We don't treat it like, well, it really shouldn't be there. Really? Really? If you had an enemy that was violent and destructive and fierce, and his goal was to completely kill you and destroy you, and he came at you and you go, oh, you know, really, please, don't do this. Really? How would you react? You've got to take authority over that. You've got to cast that thing down. If it's your past that's bothering you, your thinking that's bothering you, the devil who's trying to defeat you, here's the key. You have to take authority. God's given you the authority. He's planted the word of God in your life. He's given you that authority. You have to take it. And if it's the devil, and then let me tell you something. As I said, you know, I don't see the devil behind every doorknob and every, you know, whatever. But even the thoughts we give ourselves, the devil will take advantage of. The stuff that I had allowed in my life through an immoral lifestyle and horrible, stupid choices, the enemy was trying to destroy me. And he took my thinking and my mistakes, and man, he was putting gasoline on that fire. You see what I'm saying? And where he would have got me in complete destruction. That was his point. So some thoughts come from him, some he feeds you, some we do ourselves, but we have to take authority over those things. It's important. So whatever it is, you take authority over your thoughts, you take authority over the demonic one that's trying to do that into your mind. James 4, 7, 8, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he occasionally will leave. Because if you got that translation, throw it out, bring it up here, we're gonna burn that thing later. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and take it to the bank, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. First thing here is you submit yourself to God. I'd have never got set free if I wouldn't have got saved. No, I could have stayed in that. I could have wallowed around a defeated Christian, but I submitted myself to God. I said, Lord Jesus, I don't want this. Please take it. You submit yourself to God. You get saved, and you yield your life to God. I mentioned before that I'll battle the devil every chance I get. If you're struggling with the devil, I'll take authority with you. I'm with that. I'm okay with that. But I'm going to humble myself before God first. Can never be prideful about this. Can never be arrogant about this. We humble ourselves before God. We submit ourselves to God. Then we resist to God, and he flees from you. He doesn't just kind of walk away. Flee. He's gone. He has to obey the word of God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, let's be honest about it. When you're fighting the blues, or you're feeling discouraged, or you're outright depressed, how many of you choose to draw near to God? No, you sit there and you pet that stupid thing. And you draw near to God, and he goes, yeah, this is terrible. You should be upset. I'd be a mess too. Really? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Who does the drawing first? See, God expects you to do something. Grow up in the Word of God and do something about this. We submit ourselves first. We take authority. Get out of here, thought. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke this thought in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you. I praise you. I don't feel like praising you. I'm upset. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed, but I'm going to praise you. If anything else, I'm just going to come in your presence. I'm going to draw near to you. I'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Ouch. New Living Testament says it this way. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. The double-minded. You mean, if I want to be free of depression, and I want to be free of discouragement, and I want to walk in the grace of God, then I can't dabble in the world a little bit that pleases me and then come back and expect... That's double-minded, isn't it? That's double-minded. This isn't legalism. This is reality. Because when I'm fighting something and I feel I'm struggling in some area, I'm not listening to God's thoughts. I got to draw near to God. We use terms like, we're battling depression. That's a good answer. Because it is a battle. You must make a decision to fight back. Turn a woe is me into woe is the devil. Turn that thing around. And here's your question. Is your life, your health, your strength, and emotional stability worth fighting for? The enemy is going to try to scourge you at every turn. He will try to bring you so low you think you can't fight back. Just a spark, just a rising up in God will set him running. And this is what's important. Get this. It's God's strength, authority, and ability you're counting on, not yours. Because in and of yourself, you're not going to get out of it. In and of yourself, you're going to listen to this junk, you're going to do it. You take authority, you rebuke that thing, and then you draw near to God and say, Lord, I need you backing me up here. It's his strength. Refuse to dwell on the negative. Things can be bad. We've made mistakes or things somebody else has done, and it's negative, yes. But why are you dwelling on it? Things that are done, we can't change. We've made a mistake. You've made a mistake. Forgive yourself. God does. Why do you think you got to wallow around in that? You bring it up to God, and he goes, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I guess you told me that a while ago. I forgot it. And I said, the enemy will defeat you in your thought life. We've done this over the years, looked at the scripture so many times. It's so beautiful. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue and anything praiseworthy, meditate. Let your mind wander on that. Let your thinking go to that. Let your thinking go to the things of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the blessings you have in your life. Fill your mind with all the goodness of God and the Word of God. Philippians 4 and 4:7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. It doesn't say walk around in a funk. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, but you don't understand. Again, I said rejoice. You can almost hear him saying, how are you listening to me? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and thanks, supplication with thanksgiving. Must have got cut off there. It did. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will what? Guard your heart, guard your mind. His peace that makes no sense in this terrible situation because you've come to him. And you said, I refuse to think on this junk. I'm not going to let this dwell in my head. I'm going to go to you, God. I know it's bad. I know it's a mess. You're going to get me out of it. You're going to show me a way. You will carry me through. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You're with me always. And the peace of God from the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26:3-4, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Doesn't it say it all? Peace of God from the Prince of Peace will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him because we trust in him. Trust in the Lord forever, for Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Jesus said in John 14 that the Holy Spirit, amongst other things, is our encourager. Remember, when we're discouraged, we have lack of courage. We need to be encouraged. Encourage is to give courage to give or increase confidence or success, to inspire with hope, courage, confidence, or strength of mind. Where do we go to? The Holy Spirit. Where do we go to? Our God. To get this courage. God will always edify, always exhort, always comfort you. Resist the devil. Remember that? We've told them years ago, you flee temptation because you got to cleanse your hands. You got to get, you know, if it's your tempting man, you got to run from that. But you stand against the devil. You stand and fight the devil. And then we see in Ephesians 5, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Does that sound like somebody that's discouraged or depressed? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the wording here is to be constantly filled with the Spirit of God. No room for the devil, no room for negative thoughts. Give no place to the devil. Some translations in Ephesians 4:27 say foothold. And as you're being filled with the Holy Spirit, as you seek God, as you enter into his presence and his praise, we see first in Psalm 22 tells us what? God inhabits the praises of his people. There's his presence. We begin to feel better. We're into God's graces. We set in motion a force against evil. We're taking our authority against it. We take charge of our circumstances instead of our circumstances taking charge of us. And get that. We take charge of our circumstances instead of circumstances taking charge of us. This is a battle. I am so grateful to God that he set me free. And I'm equally grateful for his deliverance and for the wisdom and the knowledge of his word that I've walked free for all these years. I have zero fear of ever being fully depressed or depressed. And my discouragement, when I'm sharp enough to think about it, I'm going to take authority over that thing. I'm going to say, I'm not walking in this today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Isn't that a choice on our part? I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. As they're coming forward, I want to give you a couple of things to think about. I read this article the other day Charlotte article, this guy was a Muslim, hugely involved in the community, Muslim community for a number of years, and he became a Christian. And I was reading his article about it, but he said something in his article as he was beginning to wrestle with the teachings of the Muslim faith. He said something that just struck me. He said, I met some vibrant Christians, and it began to have an impact on my life. And that term, vibrant Christian, that just struck me. Are you a vibrant Christian? When people meet you, do they see God in you? Are you a vibrant Christian? Isn't that who we want to be? And where are we going to get that from? From Jesus Christ. Think about this. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Let's stand and worship our God this morning. God has a hope and a future for you. If you are struggling in discouragement, just feeling down, if you're battling depression, you want prayer, I'm believing God's going to do for you what he did for me. As we go into worship this morning, you come forward, I'm going to pray for you. There's no shame in being discouraged or depressed. We all go through it. We just need to know how the tools to not go through it. So if you're struggling with those areas of your life, come forward. I want God to bless you, to set you free. If somebody on the worship team is struggling, you want prayer, come down here as we're worshiping God. Let's worship God, but this is your time, folks. Come forward now and allow God to touch your lives. Let's worship him together.